This is a conversation that I had with my buddy Devin Marks, the TED Talk Whisperer, a few weeks back. And for some reason, this episode got dinged around and unpublished, and I had to come back and fix it. So this is a new intro that I'm building for it. But if you are looking for the ability to build a good talk, you want to listen to this episode. Devin is one of the best on this topic, and he's going to share all of his secrets with you today. So saddle up. It's time for 8 Second Rule. This is 8 Second Rule, the podcast about attention-based marketing, where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? All right, 8 Second Rule family. I am here today with Devin D. Marks. Some people call him the TED Talk Whisperer. He is from a company called Connect to Compel. And his primary function in life has been, up until this whole pandemic fun started, to coach people in live presentations, TED Talk style, and to help those who are actually in the TED Talk circuit to improve so that they can actually get to bigger stages. So that's a pretty fun gig, huh? Devin, how's that going for you?
It's a going, you know. COVID was a pivot, but we found our way back to sprinting. So it's been a fun learning curve.
I read something where you're putting together some training for video, trying to get people to connect better on video. Is that or in distance presentations? I guess.
Yes. So in fact, you know, what makes for a great TED Talk? We'll go into that in a bit, I'm sure. But TED Talks are not for the butts in the seat in the auditorium primarily. When I train a speaker for their delivery, first and foremost, I want them to think about the on-screen viewer on YouTube or TED.com. And that's a paradigm shift for public speakers in the traditional keynote and motivational speech mindset. But in the TED context, that's a duh, except it was so in front of me, I didn't see it for a few months as I was trying to pivot in the COVID season. And then it dawned on me, my word, these three principles that I undergird TED training with for speakers: be clearly focused in the TED style, be story wrapped in the TED style, be action igniting in the TED style. All three translate for Zoom leadership, Zoom communication moments. And That's where Connect to Compel came in.
Cool. Well, mine has always been be seen, be heard, be understood. It's something I figured out when I was doing theater, because I recognized that when you do a live performance, there were certain things you wanted them to see, certain things you didn't want them to see, certain things you wanted them to hear, certain things you didn't want them to hear. And a lot of that was all going on at once. And if you got the right combination of the first two, then hopefully you got them to understand what it was you were trying to say. So
that great. Great. Yeah. And I suppose, you know, just swap that, right? Understood. Be clearly focused. Yeah. Be seen in the context of a story, a storyteller. Be seen as a guide to the audience, because that posture is what audiences, virtual or live, really connect to. And then, of course, be heard as you call an audience or viewership to take action.
Yep, agreed 100%. So what can you tell my audience that they don't already know about how to connect, especially over visual mediums like video? Because I don't talk a lot about that. And I know a lot of them are using it on platforms like LinkedIn and Instagram TV and YouTube, wherever they happen to be. TikTok for some of them, possibly.
Sure.
It's a little shorter form.
Sure. No, you know, I think it's important for me to position Connect to Compel and Zoom leadership as not Zoom 101 in communication basics. This is lighting. This is where you want your camera. Those many people do extremely well. And why replicate what is already done at a very high level with Dale Carnegie public speaking meets virtual or Own the Room or any other shops in the country now or world that are weighing in on the virtual communication space? What I see Connect to Compel doing is assuming they've got competent down. But how do you move from competent to compelling?
Right.
What is it that makes a competent lecture, a TED Talk, compelling? Again, three fundamental principles. There's more to it, but these three are the table ante starting point. Be clearly focused in the TED style, story wrapped and action igniting. And if you think it would be helpful, I could dive into and unpack a couple of those in a couple of ways.
That sounds great. Before we're done, I would like you to address the basics, if you wouldn't mind, just give like some easy tips for people who have maybe never tried the video thing before, but they'd like to start. I don't need you to start there. Go ahead.
And actually, we have a great resource that I'd like to make available to your listeners.
Awesome.
That you and I didn't talk about, but speaks directly into that space, because we say you want to be slotted for your Zoom presentation, your high-stakes Zoom presentation. And that goes into lighting and this and that and the other. But when we talk about being clearly focused in the TED style, maybe it's good to step back and go, why is this ranting bald guy got any authority to speak about TED or TEDx or Zoom or whatever? And it's because we've been blessed to work with really talented, bright, and connecting thought leaders over the years. One of whom was Dr. Robert Waldinger. He was a researcher at Harvard who for years had been studying health and happiness and the lives of men, a lot of data. And he was pressed into giving a TED Talk. He'd never even watched a TED Talk, wasn't entirely sure what TED was when we began working together, but he leaned into this process and brought to the table some, you know, amazing skills as a lecturer, as an academic, as somebody accustomed to hitting the circuit, if you will, in academic settings or in front of classrooms, but a very traditional style of public speaking. And yet, when he leaned into these three principles, clearly focused, story wrapped, action inspiring, today, 5 odd years later, his talk is now at 36 million views. Why? Because he really understood that embracing and leaning into these principles makes all the difference. Table ante, but makes all the difference when executed powerfully. So clearly focused. What are two principles of the five that go into clearly focused? One is be very clear on the big idea. So many speakers, experts and otherwise, come at you with a hobbly-gobbly of great insights, but they aren't distilled into one clear, concise, concentrated, shareable even, tweet level idea. That in and of itself sets a lot of speakers apart. Next level down though is make sure that an idea is undergirded by three key points and no more than four. Three, the rule of three is very much a TEDster principle. And that's because we think in threes, three little pigs, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, the fill in the blank. Three is what we just naturally default to as a idea that we can get a brain around and share with others. So being clearly focused in the TED style is first, a big idea, clearly communicated. Secondly, three key points that undergird and move forward that big idea. Now I can touch on that a little bit more. I loved one of your podcast episodes where you spoke to this and said, hey, they're like Russian nesting dolls. Big idea, three key points. And then the action steps we'll talk about in a bit. Six action steps, for example, 9 action steps. Those are all Russian nesting dolls to a degree. And I've been puzzling with that in writing a thought piece around distilling that into, 800 words. Those principles are part of what focused means in the TED context. Does that?
Yep, that does make
sense.
Does that
ring true?
I think so. Yeah, it should. I mean, that's the same stuff I've been telling them. So,
very true. Very true.
So, always good to have reinforcement, though.
Right. You and I were batting around the 1-3-9 or the 1-3-6 formula. Again, the nesting dolls. And I've started thinking of it in terms of a message temple. And I'm visual, so I grab those oversized horizontal sticky notes, and that's the roof of my temple. And then I take your standard square sticky note and I slice them in half. And those are the three pillars holding up the roof of my temple. But that message temple needs steps to get into it or steps to come out of it. And the steps coming out of the big idea with the three key points is 6 to 9 action steps that are small steps, but moving towards the execution side of driving results. And that visual has been a lot of fun to work with.
That's a great idea. Having that kind of a visual makes it really easy to outline, I'm sure.
Well, once you've got a clearly focused message in that way, then it's time to start thinking about wrapping those pillars, wrapping that message temple in story. Because as we've, I'm sure, shared with our respective folks, story is how we think. Story is how we process. Story is how we share ideas worth spreading, to borrow the TED tagline. And story, but it's a particular kind of story. It's not a flat story that's really an illustration or an example, and there's no up and down to the movement of the talk or the story. It's, I call it a challenged story, a challenge story, where there's more than just a beginning, middle, and end, because a lot of people miss that step all by itself. But there's a setup, and you know this from theater. There's a problem or conflict, and there's a resolution. And that simple man's walking around, falls in a hole, gets out of a hole story we love, we gravitate to. That's the three little pigs story again. That's the three wise men story again. That's the whatever those parables and child stories and even adult stories are that we resonate with. Again and again and again, you see man falls in hole, man gets out of hole. That's a challenge-shaped story. The second factor is that that's relatable detail in that story. It's not Dr. Waldinger talking about deep voodoo research methodology and story. It's the story and the principles he's trying to make clear to the audience are wrapped together, but they're granular enough that I, as a listener, can go, oh, I can relate to that. I remember when. Would it be helpful if I grounded this maybe in, sure, in an example from his talk? So he's talking about the lives of men and women and their families over, it's a 75-year story or 75-year long research project. So he's the third or fourth director of this research set that started back when John Kennedy was a freshman at Harvard. And it follows John and all of his people through their lives. And some become alcoholics, some become schizophrenic, some become presidents and CEOs, some become nonprofit founders, some become fill in the blank. It's all there, but they're patterns.
Right.
And Dr. Waldinger began to share some of those patterns in his message, such that when you and I were listening to his talk, we go, oh, yeah, I've got that family member I haven't spoken to in years. And that wound, that gap in relationship, hurts. I should take a step and resolve that. So Dr. Waldinger tells the story of this research, sets up a big idea with three key points, and then he brings the audience to an understanding of how their story weaves in with that research story. And that's the magic, a challenge-shaped story that's relatable. Does that
Yeah, it does. So in novel writing, one of the formats that gets bandied about quite a bit is this. It's you have a character who mm-hmm. wants something more than they want anything else in the world.
Right.
Now, how can you stop them from getting it? And that's how you write a good novel, because you're constantly putting obstacles in the way. So if you can a story that has multiple obstacles, it can even become more exciting. It's hard to fit all of that into one talk, but you have to be able to kind of up the ante as you go. So
fair enough. And as we talk about story, I mean, you know, as a writer, how complex and interweaving stories can overlap to become a whole, right?
Right.
In a TED talk, 7 minutes, 12 minutes, 18 minutes, we don't have that much luxury. And that's why a concentrated model of the hero's journey, to borrow Joseph Campbell's language and his I think 17 steps. Other people have 27 steps. Some people have 7 and 11 steps. Donald Miller with StoryBrand embraces 7. Look, however many steps you're essentially following in concentrated form, set up, man's walking along, man falls in a hole, there's the problem, Man begins resolving it and climbs out of the hole. There's the resolution. Mm-hmm. And that very concentrated challenge shape is all we need in a TED Talk.
Agreed. It's also all you need, guys, if you're listening here in a blog post. It's all you need, you know, especially in something as short as a LinkedIn post. If you're looking to tell a story, keep it simple, because people get lost easily, and confusing an audience is the worst thing you can do.
Ever so true. Now, you know, let's also borrow from the pulpit, right? And a sermon. Lives have been changed for millennia by story and focused messages and what they call in homiletics and seminary language, applications. Those are essentially calls to action. But here's what separates a call to action or a to-do for the audience that drives results in the TED style. It's not boil the ocean. It's not clean the ocean of all the plastic, step one. It's not save all the whales, step two. It is a walk up to the ocean's edge, put your toe in it, and begin signaling to your friends to come on in, the water's fine. Now, what do I mean by that? A replicable win, a small baby step win, is what makes for an action-igniting call to close to a TED Talk, right? So again, let's just review. You have a message that's clearly focused in the ways we've discussed, a story that's wrapped around your points, but there's also an action-igniting challenge to the audience. And it works well because winnable wins are what we deliver from the TED stage or the TED screen or the Zoom leadership moment where you're in a high stakes presentation to a prospective buyer, to a board meeting, to a team, whatever that context is for you in a Zoom leadership moment. You want to be clear about what your results are you want the people to take, and they have to be baby steps. They can't be boil the ocean steps. They also benefit if they're habit forming steps. And finally, if they are replicable by others, that's how a movement starts, in fact. So let's go back to Dr. Waldinger's talk about the good life. His big idea was the good life is built with good relationships. He has three key points that unpack that. And then he concludes with, don't go out there and, you know, embrace the world, change your family. He goes out there and he says, look, think about date nights. Think about long walks together. Reach out to that someone you haven't spoken to in years, because those wounds fester and create pain and shorten lives. What he's just done there with those three examples of six is outline actions that are winnable wins and replicable wins. Now, there are five or six others under clearly focused story wrapped in action, inspiring, but that's a great place to start. And if you just embrace those three principles and those two expressions, you are going to be miles ahead of your average, oh my gosh, I got to get my post-it notes. And did I pull my pants up? Is my zipper up? I'm ready for my Zoom moment.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't, that's the thing. I found this out early on in life, because I've been a, you know, professional creative since my early 20s. I spent all my time in theaters and doing all that kind of stuff, writing, building, designing, fun stuff, acting. It's funny how little it takes to impress people who don't feel that they are creative. And the same thing is true with communication skills. It doesn't take that much to impress people who don't feel like they are good communicators. If you can basically get through a coherent sentence or two, most people are going to be pretty wowed by your presentation. But if you can learn to really be compelling and really present yourself in this manner, you can basically sell anything. That's the key. You have to be able to believe in it. But beyond that, this is, guys, what he's saying is so essential. I want you to hear it, because I don't care if you're putting this in an article. I don't care if you're putting it in a blog post. I don't care if it's, like I said, a social media post, your podcast, whatever. All of these principles remain the same. If you've got a clear idea and you can support it, and then you can tell people how to achieve it, that's gold. That's money in the bank.
And that's also timeless wisdom, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Socrates was saying something equivalent. Billy Graham was saying something equivalent. Now, Chris Anderson and company in the TED circles are saying something equivalent. But what's changed is the technology. And most of us stall when we see that hurdle, that bump, that barrier to applying these timeless principles. Oh, I don't know how Zoom works, was everybody's complaint a year ago, right? Now we're past that.
Right.
But as we move past that and we learn other features of online communication and platforms and podcasting and fill in the blank, we return again and again to those fundamental core principles of communication that Billy Graham shared when radio popped and television popped, and that TED shared when YouTube, Twitter, and those two popped, right? The reality of social media, Twitter and YouTube coming together just when these lectures, which were short, were being released, that was the powerful catalyst that took these timeless principles and put them into a new technology context. And now here we are in Zoom, and people are struggling just to show up competent to a Zoom session, much less lead a Zoom session. And I'm saying, let's get competent out of the way. That's what the slotted resource is that I'll offer your listeners. But once you got slotted out of the way, now let's lean into the opportunity that is to leverage these timeless principles in a new context. And that is be focused, be storied, and be actionable.
You know what? Here's what I'm just going to say right now is that part is so much more important than the slotted stuff anyway. You could pitch in the dark with your Good cell point. Phone, with your smartphone and a pair of headphones. And if you've got a good story to tell, you might still make your sale. But guess what? I don't care what your camera setup looks like. I don't care how much money you spent setting up your Zoom studio or your podcasting studio or whatever. It's not going to make any difference if you've got nothing to say. So that's
right.
That's
or
my
if
deal.
You've
is
got too much to say and it's not structured.
Yeah. Well, right? And that's the same. I mean, it basically ends up with the same result, doesn't it? Because you're all over the map and people can see you've got something, but who wants to work with that? It's too much. You can't take it all in.
I'm working with a CEO of a multi-$100 million startup right now. They're about to offer their IPO this summer if everything goes well. And he's working on a legacy piece, a TED talk that speaks to some of the science challenges we face as it relates to climate and recycling, et cetera. And, you know, I mean, our first conversation, brilliant man, full of stories, understands this as an engineer only can. And yet the first conversation is a lot of spaghetti. Right.
Yeah.
And so we need to go in and pull out three threads together in a meatball. And there's the beginning of a meal if you spread some sauce on it. Right. Yeah. That very fundamental, clean and simplified message, story, and action mix is, well, it's common sense, but it's rarely practiced.
It's only common sense after you've been taught it, though.
I guess that's true.
You know, honestly, and you know, for most of us, if you got a decent grade school education, they showed you how to do this when they were teaching you how to do outlines, you know, with the Roman numerals. They really did.
When they used to do that.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Back in the day when I was
cursive.
There.
That with cursive, yeah. Right?
Back in the day when I was there, we learned this in like the fourth or fifth grade, right? So
right,
when you understood
right.
outlining, then you know, when you got to the point that you were starting to write an essay in high school, you didn't look at the teacher and just like deer in the headlights. You already had a good idea of what that meant.
Right. You know, and it raises another point. Look, you and I probably studied this trying to earn our Boy Scout merit badge in public speaking. I went through Toastmasters years and years ago, and that helped me and disciplined my presentations. Same thing with Dale Carnegie. But here's the reality. Those three expressions of traditional public speaking do not leverage what TED saw and leveraged. And the TED Talk generation, if you will, all of us who have been trained by watching 6+ billion TED Talks, now expect and resonate with that TED style of presentation that that jumps off of those traditions of Boy Scouts, Toastmasters, and fill in the blank. And again, it's what is focused? Well, it's in the TED style that you're focused, not Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 necessarily. It's also story in the TED style of story. And finally, and neuroscience backs up all of these, right? And then finally, it's actionable next steps that are doable. Now that's one that you can borrow from the pulpit. And you know, that's why I had to go to seminary to learn how to deconstruct TED and walk out with these principles that speakers have found so powerful as they introduce their ideas and see them spread.
And that last one right there, man, if people could pick that up on LinkedIn when they're writing posts, to offer truly actionable advice, you know, that right there, is what I book all my calls off of. It's what clients off of.
I've watched you and admired you doing that.
Yeah. I just sit and talk to them. And the thing is, you just pick it up. And if you can, everyone would have, I think pretty much everyone has a genius level skill somewhere that they can that with.
I agree.
I don't care if it's collecting matchbox cars or, you know, cleaning house or being an auto mechanic. You've got something that you could tell people about for hours and hours and hours. And just they would, if they're interested in your topic, they would just be glued to what you're saying.
Everyone has an idea worth spreading.
And if you can learn to teach it to them, because here's the thing that I learned a long time ago. I don't really own a skill until I can teach it to somebody else.
Yeah, excellent.
You know, because if I'm going to learn how to bake cookies, I can learn how to bake cookies from watching someone else do it, but I can't learn to bake cookies until I get my hands dirty.
Sure.
And I'm certainly not going to be that good at it until I can share that with somebody else and watch them and make sure that what I did, like you said, is duplicatable. That's where that comes in, right? Because now you're teaching. And that's where it starts to really get to where the rubber meets the road. So guys, listen, if you're doing this as a marketing tool, you can't give away... The colonel doesn't go across the street to churches and give away the 11 herbs and spices, but churches already knows 98% of what the colonel knows about making chicken. They can definitely share tips on all that. How hot does your oil get? What kind of, you know, what do you do with the fries? You know,
you're speaking to a guy with family land in Kentucky. So you're resonating.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's so many things and people get so afraid that they're giving away their 11 herbs and spices when really all they're diving into is like the top 4% of what everyone in their business already holds in common, you know? So they're holding that behind a paywall somewhere. And if they would just put that out on the table so that people who don't know what they know could access that, and see that they know what the heck they're talking about, man, the sales pitches, they get so much easier after that.
You know, and that's advice that I am processing and learning to take right now in this season. Because frankly, when I started six odd years ago, I had more work than I could shake a stick at, more work than I could do. I could turn down clients because we had such a volume. COVID changed that, especially in 1Q, 2Q. And I started to have to ask myself, oh, how do I engage people in what you're describing? Giving away four or five of the herbs and spices is part of that. And it's so that's advice I'm processing, even as we're talking right now, you know, Mark. I want to go back to something you pointed out a few minutes ago, which was simplicity.
Okay.
One of the principles of story, there are six principles that I use to teach what makes a sticky story in the TED style. One of those is that it's kid leveled. No deeper and heavier than sixth grade education. You
Same
need to simplify
writing.
That recipe. Simplify those the cookie recipe that you're sharing with your eight kids, man. You got to simplify that for them so they can go and start cooking cookies on their own. And then you can critique and improve and tweak and make it uniquely theirs with toffee instead of just chocolate chip. But again, simplifying this, it takes a lot of work. It's not easy. It's not obvious, but if folks lean into these frameworks that help shape a message so that it's clearly focused and that story is simple and spreadable and relatable, then the next steps are almost pro forma.
Okay, so we are about out of time here, Devin.
That went fast. That went fast. I love this show.
I try to keep it under 30 minutes. This one's kind of probably going to be a little bit long, guys. Sorry, but I think Devin had a lot of good stuff to say. So share with us how they can find your resource. And then I got one more question for you before we close out.
Yes, I came into this with what idea of a resource in our conversation around how do you do the lighting? How do you do the this, that, and the other to get slotted for your presentation? I think that's the one to share. And okay. The way to download that is to go to connecttocompel.com/8-second rule and spell that out. 8-second rule, all one word. connecttocompel.com/8-second rule.
And I'm going to put that also in the show notes. So if you'll send me just a copy of that link on LinkedIn, then I'll just copy and paste it over there when I put the show notes together for this. And so I try to ask this question.
And actually, before we go, let me just tell your listeners, if you download that and you like it and you want that additional resource I was planning to offer, which deep dives into clearly focused story, rapid action, inspiring, and gives TED Talk examples from the TED stage that you can also use to process this, send me an email. Just hit reply when you download your slotted resource, your learning tool at that URL, and I will ensure that you get that second gift, if you will.
Thank you. That's really generous.
I've loved our conversations. I've loved learning with and from you. And I know your audience well enough in that context to know they'll appreciate it.
Well, you know, mostly I'm trying to appeal to people who just need help earning a living. You know, I think lots of inspirational gurus who are out here trying to teach you how to be the next Jeff Bezos. But there needs to be
start with my haircut. No,
right. There you go. The track. Does he wear track suits? I don't know.
No, I think you're, I think you're right. You know,
there needs to be some guys out here teaching people how to do wisdom, the 60 to 80K a year thing where they can have a comfortable living and still own their own time, you know, and nobody's really teaching anybody how to do that. They'll teach you how to do the accounting. They'll teach you how to file the paperwork, but actually building the business. No. They don't share that secret. It's kind of sad. Okay. So
and I think you're really helping people with that. And you may not have a TED Talk in you this year, right? You may have an idea we're spreading deep, deep down in your calendar, but these three principles help you at whatever your business level, because they work for a TED Talk, they work for an elevator pitch, they work for a funding pitch, they work for a new customer pitch. They even, it works in the 90-second elevator version. Clearly focused, story wrapped, action inspiring.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so the question that I am trying to ask all of my guests from here on out,
yes, sir,
is this one. In all of your life, the one thing, the one piece of advice, the mantra, the one thing that you would go back to more often than not that you think every human on earth needs to hear.
Since I didn't know this in advance, I love this one, Mark. It's funny. I was thinking of it this morning. I was 18 years old dating Jessica Allen in Pulaski, Florida. And her father was a interesting fellow. He had made a living for a couple decades as a professional gambler before, you know, CNN and ESPN and he was the old deal rambling about the back of the bar gambler, and he supported his family at a really good level. When Jessica was born, his wife made him give it up, and he took some of his winnings and he bought a boating and an engine speedboat kind of business, did extremely well with that. And I thought, man, this guy's going to have some great advice for me. I used to make a habit of asking older and wiser, more experienced folks, what's the one piece of advice you could give me at 18 that I should roll with the rest of my life? You know what he shared? Was it business? Was it a gambling trick? Was it how to win and woo the love of your life and keeper? No, it was take care of your teeth and take care of your back. And I'll leave your people with that.
That's good advice. I wish I had taken both of those. All right, Devin. Well, thank you so much for
especially
coming on
in this
today.
Corona season.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, Mark. I'm so appreciative for the invitation and the chance to get to know your audience better and continue to learn with you.
Absolutely. If you'll hang on after I hit stop here, we'll chat for a second. So guys, thanks for listening to this episode of 8-Second Rule. You can find Devin and more of his stuff. You can find him on LinkedIn. He's a pretty decent guy to connect to there. And then you can find him at Connect to Compel. And I will be sharing a link to his resource. You want to say that URL one more time for me?
Yes. connecttocompel.com/8-second rule and spell it out. 8-second rule.
All right, guys. So that's it. And that's it for this episode. So, in addition to the free resources that our buddy Devin just shared with us and that you can get from him, I just wanted to find one more tool to hand out today. And this is the Illustrated TEDx Speaker Guide. And you can find it at storage.ted.com/TEDx/manuals/IllustratedTEDxSpeakerGuide.pdf. But I'm guessing if you were to search IllustratedTEDxSpeakerGuide.pdf, you would come to this exact same page. And it's pretty cool because it's pretty basic. It goes over some of the stuff that he talks about. It also just gives you some input on how you can actually build the best TEDx speech. And I'm sure that this is a resource that he has seen before and would approve of because it is from TED.com. So anyway, that's the free tool for today, guys. And I want you to remember that you've got 8 seconds to impress anybody who finds your content online at the max. That's the most passive attention anybody's going to give you. All right. So what are you going to do with it?